And we want him to do that tonight. It's been a good night. I hope you got here in time to enjoy some fellowship in the back. And the food and fellowship is good. The kids are having their celebration right now, and that's good. Those are all good things. But we want to get to the best thing, and that's the Word of God. And fellowship's good. Food's good. Friendships and family that we have at church, all those things are very good. And we praise God for it. But the main thing is the Word of God, and it's the Word of God that changes lives. So I hope when you come here, you come for the Word of God, for the Word of God to change you. And so that's what we want to see God do tonight. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. We are going to have a Christmas message tonight because I love Christmas. And if anybody's here tonight that doesn't love Christmas, then you need to repent in sackcloth and ashes and dust before you leave here tonight. There are some things about Christmas that can be difficult. I just have a quick question. How many of you do Christmas cards every year? How many of you used to do Christmas cards every year? Yeah, so those can be difficult sometimes, and we do them sometimes, sometimes we don't. And it's just one of those things. But there's one lady who always did Christmas cards. I probably told you about her before. She was late getting her cards one year. I think if you haven't got your Christmas cards out yet, you probably better hurry. Right? And so she was in a hurry. She knew she had 49 people on her list she wanted to send cards to. So she rushed to the store. She bought a package of 50 cards. She quickly addressed them and sent them all out, and in a frenzy tried to get them all in the mail, and she dropped them off at the mail, and she had her one card left over, and she never really even paid attention to what the card said. They were just Christmas cards. She liked the outside, and she sent them. But then she opened and read the message on the inside of the card that she had sent to 49 people. It said, "This card is just to say a little gift is on its way." Isn't that about the kind of thing that would happen to some of you? Sometimes there are some things at Christmas that can kind of get us down. Sometimes I look forward to getting together with my family for Christmas. I love spending time with my family. I love going to my mom's. I love going to my in-laws. This is being recorded on the internet. No, I really do. I've got a great, great family and my in-laws. I've got a great family and my mom and dad and my sister and her family. And I love spending time with family. Some of you probably don't love spending time with family. Sometimes there's some people that you're not always excited to see. And sometimes there can be some people in your family that make it difficult to be around them. And I know that there are some things. And obviously we can get caught up in the nonsense of the commercialism of it. One store just gave up on pretending, and they said, "Get ready for Christmas year this year. Come to our cell and mingle with the crowd." And that's about what happens when you go to the store these days. You get mangled. But we can get so messed up with all that other stuff, we miss what it's really all about. And what Christmas is really all about is about the Lord Jesus Christ. We studied Sunday morning that Christmas is really about Emmanuel. It's about the fact that God came down to be with us. He became one of us to be with us. That's what Christmas is really all about. And tonight I just want to encourage you that we have good tidings of great joy. And we can have a great time of rejoicing this holiday season, this Christmas season. So if you're able, let's stand together. We're in Luke chapter 2. We're going to start reading at verse 8. We're going to read several verses here and really just kind of focus in on a few of them, but I always like to give you the context of where we're at. Luke 2 and verse 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for our Savior, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, our Savior who was born to take away the sin of the world. Thank you for your great love and your mercy. Lord, tonight I pray that you would help us to turn from our sin and to turn to you. Lord, that we might have our hearts cleansed, that we might rejoice in the gift, the unspeakable gift of salvation. Thank you for all your love for us. Please help each one. Help us to be changed by your word. Forgive our sin and help us tonight. And help us to go from here changed to take the joy of Christmas and share it with everyone we can over the next couple of weeks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So just want to spend a little bit of time here. And you're all so familiar with what people would call the Christmas story. We're so familiar with this account in Scripture, and as well we ought to be. I know there are some people who say we don't need Jesus to celebrate Christmas. There are people today who say Christmas isn't about Jesus, but it's all about Jesus. And we need to remember that all the extra things that we do, that's not what it's really about at all. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we focus on Him, it changes everything. So back at verse 8, there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. The night that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the night that He was born there in that and laid in that manger, in that same area, right there, near there. There were shepherds watching over their flock by night, and suddenly the angel of the Lord came about them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And so I just want you to get that. I mean, I don't know that we can put it in our mind. Hard for me to imagine what it'd be like to be a shepherd 2,000 years ago. But just imagine them sitting out on the hillside, that rocky hillside around Bethlehem, and they're watching over their flock, making sure no wild animals come in and try to take the flock. They're watching to make sure none of the flock strays away. They're watching over them, keeping watch over them. And all of a sudden, an angel appears. I mean, and when he appears, it's sudden. When he appears, it is bright. When he appears, they are terrified. And I can just imagine. Listen, you say, well, that was 2,000 years ago, and they were just, we get this idea that they were that they were old, and they were ignorant, and they were stupid, and all that stuff. But listen, I would just say that if an angel appeared to you tonight, you'd be terrified too. Of course, I'd think I'd lost my mind, but you'd be scared. And so they were terrified when the angel of the Lord appeared to them. And they were sore afraid. And the glory, the shining light of the glory of God was bright around them. In verse 10, the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Tonight, I just want to give you two thoughts. Number one, we ought to worship His glory. In verse 9, it says, The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. You see, when they saw His glory, it caused them to be afraid. I don't think that they were just afraid because they were startled, like it just scared them, and then they were fine. When the angel of the Lord appeared, it startled them to be sure, but the glory of the Lord shining on them, that's what made them afraid. And when you get into the presence of God, it will cause you to see yourself for who you are, and you will be afraid. In Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple, and the angels cried back and forth, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And when Isaiah had that vision, he fell down on his face and he said, Woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. When you see the glory, the presence of God, it shows you, it shines the light on our wickedness, our sinfulness, and just how low we are, and it ought to cause us to worship. I got an idea that they fell on their faces. I got an idea that they were very afraid, that they cowered down and shielded themselves. And listen, it's not a bad thing to bow down in the presence of God. Amen. It's a right response. When we see His glory, it should cause us to surrender to His will. We see His glory when we look into His Word. The Bible tells us that when we look into the Scripture, that we're changed into His image, the glory from glory to glory. You know what happens when you look in the Word of God? You see the glory of God, and it shines on you. It shows you and me where we're wrong, where we need correction, and it shows us how to get right. And so when we see His glory, when we worship before Him, worship isn't really so much about singing songs. Worship is more about bowing down at the feet of our Lord. Amen. Repentance is the natural response to being exposed to the glory of God. Repentance precedes rejoicing. I often am convicted about the lack of joy in my own heart. And do you know why we lack joy? In a word, sin. It's impossible for a child of God to continue in sin and to live with joy. But did you know that Jesus gave us His Word, and He wants us to follow Him so that His joy would remain in us and that our joy would be full? He wants us to continue in His Word. He wants us to abide in Him so that we can be filled with joy. I just wonder, how many of you feel like you lack joy today? Anybody? Some of y'all are pretty sour sometimes. We lack joy. We need to get in the Word of God, see the glory of God, worship at the feet of His glory, repent, and that repentance can bring about rejoicing. You see, they didn't get the rejoicing until they were first afraid at the glory of God. Next, we see rejoice in His gospel. Look at verse 10. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Here it is, friends. We can rejoice in the power of His gospel. You don't have to be afraid, because I'm bringing you. He says, "Behold," that means, "Listen up, I'm here to give you good tidings of great joy." What He has for us today, dear friends, is good news. And that good news brings great joy. Why? It's the gospel. Some people, I'm astounded at some Christians who get tired of hearing the gospel. They don't want to go to church because the preacher just preaches the gospel every week. Well, guess what? You ought to rejoice in the gospel. It's the good tiding. It's the good news. It's the gospel that brings us great joy. It's the good news that tells us that we're sinners in need of a Savior, that warns us of the judgment to come, but then shares with us that there is a Savior and His name is Jesus. That's where our joy comes from. He says, "I've got good tidings of great joy for you today." The good news brings the great joy, and I want you to notice that it's to all people. This good news, this good tidings of great joy, it's not for some people, it's for all people. Isn't that good? It's for the Jews and for the Gentiles. It's for wealthy people and it's for poor people. It's for people on this side of the tracks and the people on the other side of the tracks. The gospel is for everyone. I think about the Christmas account in Scripture, the Christmas story. We think about all the people involved. Somebody did a survey one time, and nearly a third of the ones questioned stated that of all the people mentioned in the Christmas story, they identified most with the shepherds. The shepherds were average, ordinary people who were invited to see the birth of the King of Kings. Now, I certainly wouldn't make myself a wise man. I don't think I could pull that off. But maybe shepherd. Hey, listen, those men, just average, ordinary people, of all the people on the planet that God could have sent the angel to announce the Savior's birth, he chose shepherds. Just normal, average, everyday, faithful, hardworking men. Amen. Isn't that good? Amen. The gospel's for everybody. He's got good tidings of great joy. Why? Because unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Because we have a Savior. The angel doesn't tell him his name like he told Mary, like Joseph was told. But we know his name is Jesus. His name means Jehovah saves. We have a Savior. Can I just please remind you real quick tonight of where you would be without Christ? Some of you have been saved so long, it's hard for you to imagine not being saved, but can you just imagine for a moment if you'd never repented and trusted Christ as your Savior? If you never heard the gospel? If you never heard that you were a sinner on your way to a devil's hell? If you'd never heard that there was a Savior who took your place on Calvary's cross? If you never heard that He died for you and rose again? If you never heard that if you'll repent and trust Christ, you can have eternal life? If you didn't know the good news, can you just imagine for a moment where you would be today without Jesus? I'm telling you, we've got good tidings of great joy because there's a Savior who was born in the city of David. Because He was born, because He came, because He was born in that lowly manger and wrapped in those swaddling clothes, and because He was there, because God became a man, we have great reason to rejoice tonight. Amen. Because I did hear the gospel. And I did repent of my sin. And I did cry out to Jesus to save me. And He saved me. Amen. I have eternal life. My sins have been forgiven. When I die, I'm going to be in heaven with God. Amen. Because He was born that day to live as Christ and to die as gain. I don't know. Friends, we ought to be excited tonight. We ought to rejoice tonight. There is good news. And great reason for rejoicing. Maybe you guys think I'm weird. I am. It's okay. When I start talking about this, I get excited about dying. Amen. I mean, I'm not suicidal. But I'm excited to go see the Lord. Amen. And I know how some of you are. And please don't take this the wrong way. Because I want to go see my grandma. I miss her. And she's there. I got a lot of other family and I got friends that are there. But I got news for you. I'm excited about dying, not to see grandma, but to see Jesus. I'll get to bow at His feet. Those feet that took the nails for me. I could just dream of Him reaching down and touching me on the head with those hands that took the nails for me. And I can scarcely bring myself to imagine what it'll be like to look up at my Savior's face, to see the one who was born to die for me. We've got great reason to rejoice tonight. I have a Savior. The whole world has a Savior if they just believe. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, to white people, to black people, to Indian people, to Americans, to Iranians, to Russians, to Africans, to South Americans. I'm not smart enough to name all the countries, but to everybody in the whole world. Because, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Chosen One, the promised King of Kings, He is born today. And this shall be a sign unto you, verse 12, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. We know those swaddling clothes were grave cloths, a picture of His death. His being born to die. And verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We see worship His glory brings us to rejoicing in His gospel. We see the power of the gospel because the Savior was born, all men could be saved. And we see praises to God, His praise. Glory to God in the highest. What it's saying, friends, is in the highest of the heights of the heavens, glory to God as high as it can be. We want to lift Him up. We want to exalt His holy name. He is in the highest of heights. He is above all things. He's before all things. He has the preeminence. And He is worthy of all glory. That glory is that shining light. And what we need to do is shine the light on Jesus. It's not about me and it's not about you. It's not about this church. It's about our Savior. It's about Him, and we want to glorify Him. That's why we praise. Is to shine the light on Jesus. We see His praise and we see our peace. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. This is incredible, friends. I read just yesterday, and I wish I could remember the number now, but it's staggering when you consider how many armed conflicts are going on in the world right now today. We hear of wars and rumors of wars. There are dozens and dozens of countries right now that if you were there, you'd have to be in fear for your life because there's wars and fighting going on every moment. Places in the world today that if you were there, you don't know if the bomb's going to go off or a rocket's going to come or machine gun fire. I mean, there is war. Not only actual, literal, physical war, but then we talk about the war that people have in their own lives. The war between good and evil. The war between our flesh and the devil fighting against the spirit and doing what's right. And there is not peace on earth right now. You know why? Because people have rejected the Prince of Peace. Peace is available. Did you know that in the midst of those war-torn countries today, that there are men and women who love and serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and they have peace in their hearts despite the storm raging around them? That's the kind of peace that Jesus brings. He brings peace to our hearts. And one day He'll bring peace to the whole world. Amen? He's going to settle all things. He said, I'm bringing you good news. And this good news is going to glorify God, but it's also going to do something for you. It's praiseworthy. You got to praise God for it, but it'll bring you peace and goodwill toward men. I want you to get this, goodwill toward men. We've got a kind of an idea, a connotation of what this means, but it's literally talking about God's will towards us. And God's will towards you is good. Some people think that God's a tyrant, that he's a bully. Some people think that he's far away and he doesn't care about the affairs of men. Let me tell you about our God, the God of the Bible, the true, one, true God. He loves you. Amen. He came down to this earth and became one of us so that he could save all of us. And his will towards us is good. Amen. He loves you. His thoughts towards you are for your good. He wants to give you peace in your heart, peace with himself and peace with other people. And it only comes when we repent and we rejoice in what he's done for us. This evening, I'm going to invite our musicians to come. We're going to have a verse of invitation. I just want to give you a few points of advice, if I could, for the Christmas season. Number one, can I challenge you to enjoy this Christmas season? The key word being joy. This is a time of rejoicing. I know there are sorrows. I know there's trials. I know there's sickness. I know there's pain. I know there's even death. But this is a time to rejoice. Not in the Christmas gifts, not in the things, not in the food even, not in the fellowship, none of those. Yeah, those are great things we can enjoy and we should enjoy. But the joy, true joy, comes from Christ, our Savior. Amen. Because his joy is greater than all the pain and sorrow that we might experience in this life. Enjoy the Christmas season. Rejoice in the good news that Christ gives. Number two, this would be a good time to give up some bad habits. Some people at Christmas time are too stingy. Some people at Christmas time are too spendy. That's not a word, but I'm saying it anyway. Some people at Christmas time are too grouchy. I'm not looking at anybody when I said that. Some people at Christmas time are too busy to take the time and celebrate our Savior's birth. So enjoy this Christmas season. Forsake some bad habits. And can I just encourage you tonight to give? Give gifts to other people. It's better to give than to receive. Amen. Give love to everyone, especially those people you think don't deserve it. Give love. Give to the Lord. There's no greater time for us to give our tithes and offerings to the Lord than Christmas time. You want to talk about a way to honor and worship him? Give. When we give, we're not giving to the pastor. We're not even giving to the church. We're giving to the Lord through the church. And most importantly, I think, give good tidings of great joy to everyone you meet. Hey, listen, there is no better time of the year than Christmas time to get to share the gospel with other people. Listen, 70% of people, when they go to the store, they like to see signs that say Merry Christmas, not Happy Holidays. Do you know that? 70% of Americans would rather see Merry Christmas. You know what you can do? You can take these gospel tracts and give them to people, and you can say Merry Christmas. And it's amazing how people's eyes light up when you say Merry Christmas to them. You can share with them the gospel. You can ask them, how do you celebrate Christmas? What's Christmas mean to you? You want to talk about an easy way to segue into the gospel? Well, Christmas for me is about getting together with my family and blah, 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 blah. Well, let me tell you what Christmas means to me. Amen. It means unto us. A Savior was born. See, give. Gifts are good. Those are fine. Giving to the Lord through the church is great. Giving love to everyone is paramount. But there's no greater way to love someone than to give them the gospel. Let's stand together tonight. We're going to sing a song of invitation. What number? Number 521. The Holy Spirit's convicting your heart about anything tonight. Would you come? Maybe you need to repent so you can get to doing some rejoicing tonight.